Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 134 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
Hey. We will be covering The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 11, titled Rogue Element. But we did not get feedback from last episode to cover, but I actually kind of had a few things, and I know Brian has like his little part of like where he does errata, which I don't really have a like.
And you blow it!
Yes, we don't have a suitable zombie apocalypse.
Errata. But hey, you blew it, because I should have caught this.
You blew it!
Before we recorded, and I completely missed it. But anyway, so last week's episode, we learned what King Ezekiel's last name was. And it was in that patient file that Carol was snooping at the hospital. And in there, it was written on, like, it had his last name in there. And so his last name is Sutton, which, you know, it is what it is. There's, you know, I don't know if there's going to get any kind of, any more information other than that. It's just like a fun thing to deal with.
Yep.
But it's interesting to know that in the comic book, he was not given a last name.
Yeah.
So it looks like the show kind of gave him one. And also I missed, and we knew about this because I know it falls with a comic, so it's already like kind of out there. Well, it's kind of confirmed that the show is going to do in the same way, is that the Commonwealth is indeed in Ohio. And there was like the World War II monument that I think Carol was like standing next to, and mm-hmm. I'm sure this probably got seen in other episodes, maybe. But it was just interesting because, you know, she like picked up the invoice from the wine shop and it said like Dover Hills, Ohio. And so it started getting me thinking, because we did have this conversation last week about like, you know, the CRM and like, you know, where's like they have to know where the Commonwealth. And then I started like, you know, we know the CRM is in Philadelphia. So then it was kind of like, okay, well, looking at where Philadelphia is to where, and I kind of went Dover, Ohio, to see where that kind of was, as that, you know, that's kind of a good place to at least like, you know, so we don't know exactly where, the Commonwealth is.
Right.
But so basically it's like, then the CRM would be about 226 miles away. But then Alexandria is like what, 6-7 miles outside of DC is what it's right. Kind of put at. So it's like, okay, well, from Alexandria to the Commonwealth, that's about 340 miles. So if you look at the map of the United States and see where everything is, it's like the CRM, if they were based in Philadelphia, and I'm sure, yes, they have other outlying areas, I'm sure, you know, under control, but it's like they would have totally crossed over Ohio to get to Omaha, you know, when we were watching that in World Beyond. Obviously getting to Portland, you know, doing all this stuff. So it's like they have to know of the Commonwealth. Like that's got to be, there's no way that as much as they fly around and do stuff, you know, it's like they would have known this big, you know, like outfit, you know.
Right. I think that's still going to be one of those nuggets that we find out about. I'll have to go back and look at the map and see what I think, but
yeah, I just, you know, it's putting it in there that like we know that the CRM obviously is a part of the main show. There, you know, they took Rick. And then right. we got what we saw in World Beyond, which, you know, exactly when that happened, you know, it wasn't entirely like, oh, well, yeah, this is exactly the date of, like, you know, where it coincides. But then we have it also in Fear, which also happens earlier, we assume, of, like, the World Beyond. So, yeah, it's like, where is this all connecting and all this stuff? So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I thought it was very interesting to just kind of think of it in those terms. So, anyways, that was all I really wanted to bring up before we started our episode okay. discussion. So let's get into that. We are going to discuss season 11, episode 11, titled Rogue Element, written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, which has written many episodes and a consulting producer on many more of The Walking Dead, and none other, Michael Cudlitz, who obviously is Abraham. And this is his fourth episode on The Walking Dead, with the two that he's directed on World Beyond. So,
okay.
And being a Eugene-centric episode, it's not really a surprise that this is the one that he's, you know, that he directed. Description from AMC Plus is Eugene looks for Stephanie, Connie investigates a story on Trooper Davis, and Carol helps Hornsby. All right, well, let's get into our ratings. I'll start first. I gave it a 7.5 Mother Puss Bucket.
Well, I went just a touch higher than you did. I gave it an 8 out of 10 Catfishing in the Apocalypse.
Yeah, I go into later why. Yeah, I guess that's kind of why I gave it this rating. And I don't know. I'm a little torn kind of where it's at. So maybe I'll pull O'Brien where my rating either will go up or down as we discuss.
Well, and my point is there were enough things that I marked off. But if you look at the A plot with Eugene, I still like the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think well, that's the other thing, which I'm, you know, there's no spoilers because I'm not going to say anything, but I'm now have AMC Plus. So instead of watching the show when it airs, I'm watching the next episode. And so it kind of, I kind of like try to like not let any of that change or do anything. But, like, you know, but then I still do my rewatch and all that other stuff. And it's just, you know, I still kind of had the same kind of feeling where it's not necessarily like it was like, oh, I didn't like the episode. It was just kind of like, oh, well, I kind of know what's coming. So that kind of maybe has a little bit.
Tempers your expectations.
Yeah. Maybe a little. Well, anyways, we'll see how. Now, my rating will be different. All right. Well, let's get into our listeners' ratings. You want to take the first one?
I shall. Dieta from Detroit says 6 out of 10 heartbreaks in the Commonwealth.
Oh, yeah. And Glennis from Toronto gave it a 7 out of 10. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? And also Stephanie, Tyler, and ...
You know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Yep.
And I feel like saying, hopefully everybody's old enough to remember that.
Yeah, that's hopefully.
If you don't, it was a computer game that they then had a kid show for.
Yes.
It was like female Waldo in a red hat.
Awesome. Well, actually awesome. Yep, let's lead on to our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right, we only had the one from our wonderful Dieta from Detroit, and she said, Eugene pulled off a hell of a performance, even though this wasn't one of my favorite episodes.
Indeed.
Yep, indeed. Agreed. All right, well, that was all our listeners' awesome sauce. So let's go into ours. What do you have, LT?
Okay. Well, I was thinking about it and trying to really come up with bullet points. I enjoyed Connie being the hard-hitting investigative journalist. You know, all the classic tropes of my editor is trying to shut my story down. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's a secret here and I'm going to find out what it is. And it's more amusing to me that because Kelly's interpreting for her, you know, Connie is like signing, and Kelly's like, you sure you want to say that?
Yeah, it's like, should I edit you? Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes me laugh just a little, because I know that Connie can read lips, so she's kind of she knows what they're saying, mm-hmm. and kind of knows how they're reacting to what Kelly's saying, and she's like punching her, going, "Say it, say it." And the weird thing is that, yes, you know, Connie's out there trying to find out what happened to Tyler, but yet it's the whole thing of, is she going to end up going to the Commonwealth Gulag if she's too out of frame? So it's, I had some problems with that plot. I like the fact that this is kind of the job that she has found herself in, but we'll see where it goes. That's the big part with me.
Yeah, I liked it though. I'm kind of, it's, yeah, it's fun to see, or it's just fun, and it's also good to see that it's like just another outlet of like of them to explore this whole Commonwealth stuff. And then of course Connie's almost kind of fearless, and you know, like, no, I'm pushing, and we'll see how far she can push. So
yeah, and it was like there at the very end when she got the list. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people have gone missing? You know, is there going to be some, you know, prison full of,
like all the
political dissidents? Are these perhaps the walkers that we keep seeing showing up everywhere? Or did they just ship them off somewhere? You know, is there like the, Commonwealth Island of Misfit Survivors that they're sending them off to?
I mean, you would think that they would have, I don't know, they could have like a little prison colony thing, because, you know, they
We'll find out. I mean, I just think that that's one of those points, that where are all these people going? And is this sort of like an old, you know, East Germany, Soviet Union thing that, you know, Mrs. Johnson next door disappeared in the middle of the night, and we don't talk about it because we don't talk about those things.
Yeah.
You know, as a sidebar, I didn't list it. It's sort of ironic to me that the guy that Eugene suspects of being the covert operative is a plumber. Just because, and again, I had to put on my trivia hat, that was sort of the code name for the group of people that G. Gordon Liddy was in back during Watergate. They called them the plumbers.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
So there's your little bit of covert ops trivia. One of my next points is back to our, you know, our favorite used car salesman bureaucrat, Lance Hornsby, and the fact that, oh, Lance Hornsby on the side is doing the Heisenberg, that, you know, he's actually in the illicit drug trade.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back and complain about that part of that plot line later, but sort of ironic that under the, you know, sort of under the radar, but yet not really under the radar, he's, you know, sponsoring an opium farm. Hmm. The next part then is Lance Hornsby as the, you know, as the M of the zombie apocalypse. You know, Lance Hornsby, spy master. That, yeah. I kind of wonder, is he like the head of the Commonwealth Gestapo? Is he doing this like with official sanction, or is this just the secret society of covert operatives that he's running, to sort of prop up the Milton regime and doing all these things just to gather covert intelligence?
No, that's a good point.
Again, it's sort of making me wonder, especially with the whole, you know, once we sort of got the fruition of the Stephanie gambit, which, I mean, it's nice to know. Thanks, Walking Dead. Thanks for finally giving us what we sort of already knew from, you know, IMDb, that the voice of Stephanie on the radio was not really Stephanie.
Yeah.
And it was one of those kind of a weak sauce moment, but I kind of like the way it played out, mainly because of my last point of, you know, Josh McDermott's performance this episode, is that Eugene has been one of those characters that, you know, I like his character, but then I would be pissed off at his character, that Eugene, whatever you want to say about him, has been one of the most survival-oriented people that we've had as a main cast character. And I say that because he could read the wind. He kind of knew which way the wind was blowing, and he'd made some questionable choices there along, but it kept him alive. So when it was time to play nice with the Saviors, he did. When it was time for him to help Rick and the company out against the Saviors, he did. That he's a pretty smart guy. He has some technical knowledge, but he's been able to play the game. Mm-hmm. And this episode is, you got to see the actual emotional side of the man. And you know, just that scene with Hornsby on the staircase there at the end, the fact that, you know, Eugene has been played, where normally he's the one that kind of plays and kind of does his thing, that he got played. He was heartbroken. He was, you know, he actually fell for the gambit. And it was your classic espionage honeypot syndrome, that, you know, they knew he was talking to, and see, this is my supposition. I think that they figured out he was talking to Pamela's assistant. I don't think that was staged, but I think they found out about it. And once they found out she was doing it, her position sort of protected her, and they played it off as, we're going to find out who these people are. And so that's when they said, he's never seen this woman, so we can substitute one of our operators who will basically go in there and get the information from him. That, in case you're not familiar with how the honeypot works, is that this is something that they always said was a go-to plan for, like, the KGB, that they would find somebody at the embassy, they would introduce him to a girl, and either they would get compromising pictures and say, if you don't do what we want, we'll tell your wife and we'll ruin you, or the female operative would, you know, ply her feminine wiles and basically get the target to do what they wanted. And I think the deal was, if Eugene hadn't done what he did, I think that they could have strung him on a little longer. But I think in the end, the gambit had run its course, because Hornsby had found out about Alexandria. They were able to contact the Alexandrians and basically offer them this, I don't want to necessarily say stick and carrot. It's it's kind of the velvet glove over the iron fist routine. It's like, here, we're going to help. Here's a hand. And then if you're naughty, then you get the smack. So, since obviously, you know, Eugene said the words that she realized it was time to bug out. And I would say that she's probably on to her next assignment.
Yeah, I agreed with that for sure.
But like I said, the A plot with Eugene was the best, I think was probably the best part of the episode. And like I said, there's a big part of that that we knew this was going to happen. We kind of knew there was something going on. And I think that they played it out well enough. Because I really don't think there's a way in modern, you know, modern film production or television that they could keep some secrets hidden. You know, just like when they were trying to do the thing in Discovery with Voke and Ash Tyler.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. And in the days of the internet where you can find out things, that it just didn't, you know, that one didn't work out. And so I guess the production people will have to figure out a better way to be sneaky. But, I'm, like I said, I liked what, the Eugene storyline did. I think it's going to be interesting to where it goes next. The B story and the C story, I'm still kind of cold on. I will go ahead and say that I think it's nice seeing this sort of, see, I think it's one of those chess matches between, Carol and Hornsby, because I think that both of them realize that, you know, their opposite number has something going on and can possibly be useful. And it's going to be nice to see who wins out in the end, because, you know, Carol is got her own game going and she's playing her angle and Lance is playing his. And it's just going to be, hopefully they don't drop the ball on that. I'm interested to see where they go with that little piece of the plot.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I'm kind of like a little bit on the opposite side of that. I thought the B and C plots were actually more like were better, and I enjoyed them more than I did the Eugene storyline. And it, not to say that, like, I mean, I agree with like what you were saying, that, you know, it's like, you know, we get to see him and he was a survivor. He does know how to play the game to keep him alive and who he's with and like what he's doing, you know, to like deal with that, to keep him going forward. And, you know, it was interesting to see him where like, okay, this game and his like, you know, three-dimensional chess or whatever, you know, that he's trying to, you know, keep his cards close, and then he's thinking that he's like doing what, you know, or he's doing enough to like, you know, cover his tracks or whatever, that then we right. see him actually get completely the wool pulled over his eyes, and then how he that affected him. I'll get into it later. It's kind of, I'm like, I after like listening to like some of the points you were making, it's like, yeah, it's like it's kind of like I'm torn. It's kind of like, I don't know, rewatching it, I was kind of like more involved in Connie and Kelly and Carol than I was
right.
with Eugene this time. But not that it was bad, you know, it was definitely a great performance, and it's just, you know, we knew that it was going to come to this at some point. Yeah, so really, I kind of like my awesome sauces were kind of more just, oh, I mean, it's just kind of like I enjoyed watching Connie and Kelly, like basically the Connie being,
you know, the investigative journalist and then running into the wall with her editor and basically the Commonwealth, you know, propaganda right. and censoring and all that stuff. And just seeing her really like, you know, she doesn't want to give. She's like, no, this is like important. And like kind of coming into that realization of seeing like, okay, there's kind of this wall here that they're not wanting to let her push. So she's, and you know, wanting to find out more to find out for them to like, what's going on? Like, what is the Commonwealth? We want to know more. So it's kind of fun to like, I'm seeing her doing that role and not being scared of it, you know? And I also thought it was kind of cool that it was like, they're like, they left that office after talking to the editor and, you know, they're just sitting there like signing to each other and talking to each other down the hallway around people all around them. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. Cause it's like, you know, it's, if you've been in a situation where it's like someone's, you know, you're talking to someone that can speak a different language and you don't know it, but then they'll speak to their friend or whatever in a language. And you're like, wait, are they talking about me? Like, what did they say? And it's like, I don't know, like they can be free almost to like do that and talk about stuff and not have to worry about someone like listening in or something like that. And
well, yeah, but the only counter to that is what are the odds that nobody else that knew ASL had survived?
Well, no, that's true, but it's not very like there's that you at least at what they're showing us, it's like, we don't know if it, no one could do it. You know, there might not be any other sign language, you know, like, or interpreters or stuff like that. I mean,
it's a valid point.
Yeah. So I'm just going off at least on that. But on the other side of stuff, it's just really good to see once again, the show represents, you know, like so many other different type of characters and, you know, like you don't see on TV, you know, it's like Fear has done this. You know, it's like it's just fun to see them include that as a character. Cause you know, we've seen, it's like, oh, hey, you know, it's like seeing, you know, what would it be like if someone was, you know, deaf and could not speak and they're in the zombie apocalypse, you know, like that episode with Connie where she was in that house, like to not know that, you know, it's like, it's really just, it is just fun to see that to being shown on TV because, you know, they don't have to do that. They easily just, you know,
right,
change the character and be like, oh, that's just not a thing. But so I don't know. I just thought it awesome just because it's always good to see. And the other one was just more just kind of like Princess because I think she's changed and grown a lot since we first met her. But then it also, I don't know, I feel like it's like these fun little insights that we get on her. And when she shows up at Eugene's door and she has like, she's like, oh, I brought lasagna. And then hands it to him, you know, and gets in. And then Eugene opens it up. He's like, wait, there's no lasagna here. And she was like, oh, yeah, people always have to let you in if you're carrying food. And I don't know. It's like, it's just that to me, I don't know. It was just fun because it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like she, it's almost kind of like she knows the human condition. Like someone comes to your door and they're, you know, and you're wanting to be nice. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Come in. Cause you think I'm offering something. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of, it was just really fun. Cause I think that's the kind of person she is.
Yeah. And it's how, if you figure it's an apartment with a locked door, mm-hmm. You come in and it's like, oh, I'm bringing my friend some food. And it's like, okay, you're not going to go. You're not, because most people are not going to go, let me see the lasagna.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's almost kind of like a little bit of like social engineering. Like she's using something.
Well, that's a very common sort of thing that, In my last job, they had a thing about physical security in the building and they talked about tailgating. And that's people that hang around the door at the smoking post and wait for somebody to come in with a key card. Of course, the company I worked in, we knew everybody. So if you know the people you work with and and you card them in, it's not a big deal, but it's like some, you know, some rando by the door It's like, hey, who are you? What are you doing here?
Which that happened in this episode with Eugene.
oh, yeah.
But I mean, but you're right, because it's kind of like, living in Chicago, it was like, no, like, you don't, you make sure the door closes behind you, because I'm not going to just like, because people would do that.
Well, and that's one of the best things they've done with Princess so far is remember how we had talked about her character when they first hooked up with her, that she'd been off on her own for so long. And we thought, she's kind of like gone off the deep end. She's kind of nuts because she's lived by herself for so long. And now you see her in a community and she kind of likes being around people and she fits right in. And she's, no longer the crazy person that was living with all the zombies chained to tables, that she's, the quirky little girl that works down at the record store.
Yep.
So I've enjoyed, seeing, like last week with Mercer at the party, this is another thing that it's definitely adding to Princess's character for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nope, for sure. Agreed. All right. Well, that is all that I had for my awesome sauce. So let's go into the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Glenn's from Toronto says, this would have been an awesome plot twist that Stephanie wasn't the one that spoke to Eugene on the radio and was stringing Eugene along in order to get information about the group. But TWD has already released who was going to play Stephanie. So we knew all along she was an imposter. Yes, we did, Glennis. Yes, we did.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those moments where, yeah, that last scene of the episode would have been that like, oh my goodness, to like, oh yeah, that's right. I think I was even explaining it to my husband. I was just like, oh yeah, there she is. And he was like, huh? Because he doesn't really follow the show that much, but
right.
I was just kind of like, yep, I already knew that. Oh, here it is. This is when it happens. It was like, whatever. All right. Thank you, Glennis. That was all our listeners' weak sauce that we had. So let's go into our weak sauce. Let me just go into mine real quick, because I was just kind of talking about it a little bit earlier. I did feel like this episode was kind of weak in general, only in the sense that it's kind of like, I don't know, I didn't really, not to say that I didn't like seeing the Eugene story, I just kind of like, it kind of was like, and hokey's not the right word. It was just kind of like, oh, it's like, okay, now he's going to do the Eugene thing, which he's going to be like, oh, no, I'm going to like make the map and like, oh, I'm going to be like a spy. I'm going to track everybody's deal and this and that. Or at least the way it started, like towards the end, whenever he finally like, meets, basically confronts Lance Hornsby. But it was just kind of like, okay, I get it. We all knew Stephanie was, or the imposter Stephanie was, left after he kind of gave out his feelings. That is just like when it switched to the Carol and Connie, it was like, that was what was like, oh, that's what I wanted to see. And I was like more in, kind of invested in that. So maybe it's like, I'm going in like weak in the sense that it's like, I just, it didn't pull me in enough that I just kind of like was like, oh, okay. I almost kind of like, okay, yeah, I kind of expected it, or I wasn't really surprised, like, oh, that's what he's doing, or like what happened. It just was like, oh, okay, here we go. And then just whenever the other storylines were going on, I was like, oh, that's what I wanted to hear. Cause I'm thinking the Carol side right now is interesting. Like you said, it's like she's got her game and Lance Hornsby has his game. And it's kind of like, what's going to happen with this? Because we know Carol and, she's like very, like almost like the quiet assassin. Like she, like, it almost feels like Lance is like kind of like has a some kind of like has a little bit of like trust in her, because he thinks that maybe she's like on kind of his side of things, and Carol plays into that. And like in this episode, you know, he brought her there to kind of like give him some insight on the drug people, and then of course she knows, you know, the whole, you know, seeing the other women there, and just like, you know, and I feel like they kind of were signaling to her, you know. And then he asks her like, what do you think? And then she basically says, oh yeah, like I got the information, the guy is totally withholding the, you know, the raise and keeping over himself, blah blah blah. And like, you know, I think that's going to be an interesting play, like how far can she go, how much trust is Lance going to put into her, you know, like are they developing this, you know, relationship as they are. And it's like, does Carol end up somehow getting into like the upper echelon of the Pamela Milton, you know, like group? And I guess time will tell. But yeah, that's really all I had. So, I mean, I kind of wasn't sure exactly how to put it, because I didn't want to be hard on it, but it was just like, okay, that's how I felt. And I just kind of was like, I was more interested in the other stuff.
Right. Well, for me, my weak sauce was, I was kind of wondering about the whole, you know, the whole opium lab. Is okay, so we're growing opium to make, you know, narcotics. But I don't see how the marketing part of it goes. I mean, does this mean this is like officially sanctioned drug dealing in the Commonwealth? Does that mean there's like, you know, guys slinging heroin on the corner inside of Mayberry there? And maybe there is a seamy underbelly to the Commonwealth, but I just have a hard time seeing the way Mercer is running things that there would be a lot of, you know, illicit activity going on.
Right, right.
So that still goes to how are they able to, you know, maintain this, you know, sidebar under the table drug farm outside of just selling to the hospital. So I was still kind of hazy on that whole thing there. Unless they're selling, you know, unless they're selling drugs to some other community that we don't know about. It just was a little bit much, because there's kind of some pieces of that puzzle that are sort of missing.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing a little bit too, because like, even like Lance even said when he was talking to Carol, he like said something. I think she was asked like, well, it's like, oh, it's like, what's this? And she's like, oh, smugglers, were smugglers. And he said, were smugglers. And I was like, kind of like, huh? Like, what do you mean? Like, why did you say were, or like, we are smugglers? But then we get to the end where we see that there's Lance with his, you know, with imposter Stephanie and these other people. And then it was kind of like, okay, what is going on? Because it's like, he said that this is where they get, you know, they grow poppies to like get medicine to the hospital. But then you're saying you're smugglers, that you're a smuggler, you know, it's kind of right. Like, is there some yeah, like it was kind of like, wait, what, huh?
So, you know, is he secretly selling bootleg drugs to the Civic Republic or something? You know, it just leaves me with a lot of questions. So when Connie was out with the troops and they were doing their thing, what was the point? What were they actually doing? Was this just they're going out to kill walkers in a certain sector away from town because the walkers are congregating there? I mean, I know that she was there to try to find out about Tyler, but it just, we never actually found out what they were doing. I mean, we saw the newspaper headline, but that still kind of makes me wonder, okay, they're out with the horses and the truck and all this other stuff, but I never really got the payoff of what exactly they were doing there. Is this just rando security sweeps that they do from time to time? And like I said, I just, that just made me wonder, was this just something to justify Connie's going out and trying to get embedded with the troops to get more information? And just to finally echo what Glennis said, yes, the whole IMDb Stephanie thing. I've already griped about it. I griped about it in my Austin Sauce, but I'll gripe about it now. there's got to be a better way to do that. I understand the internet knows everything, information's everywhere, but it's kind of like they paid it off, but it was, if they could have done it when it first happened, then I think we would be less shocked that they tried to be sneaky with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the way it all worked out is like, we know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And that doesn't just ring my bell. I mean, it doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
So that's about it. That's about it for weeks.
All righty. Well, then let's get into our what sauce.
What?
And we actually didn't have any what sauce from our listeners this week. So that leads us into our own what sauce. For my what sauce, it was like, what was with the big heavy metal doors on the apartment? Like Stephanie's apartment. Like they're like crazy, like really heavy duty doors. And then it was like, you don't see those, like, we didn't see those doors with Daryl and the kids. And I didn't see them in the apartment that Carol was in. And also, it was like when Eugene and Princess are sneaking into, I guess his name's Roman, like in his apartment when they were trying to, like, you know, see who he was or, like, you know, whatever. It was a wood door. And also, Connie and Kelly's apartment door was a wood door. So I was just kind of like, okay, it's like, are those meant to keep people in or keep people out? And we saw that kind of on World Beyond, where I think, was it Iris? Like it was in the early beginning where like that woman, like her therapist or whoever, that friend of hers died, you know, and there was bars on the door and, you know, they could basically like keep them from getting out. So I don't know. That's all I couldn't, you know, I was kind of curious, like, why are there different door types?
Yeah, it kind of struck me that those apartments were almost like a refurbed prison or something.
Mm.
Or the county jail was in a better location and had nicer rooms than the crappy apartment complex they put the basic trainees in. And, but yeah, I don't want to say that they are using the same building they used when they were shooting the stuff at the prison, but it kind of has that government facility, jail, high security place kind of feel, because those were some serious doors.
Yes.
And a lot more serious than you would find in a normal apartment complex.
Yeah, like that was definitely what made it kind of like stick out, because it was like, that's not just like, oh, that's like a heavy, you know, like, you know, industrial, I don't know, like a heavy made.
It's
door.
Like a heavy, so like, what, that's look, like the heavy bomb proof.
Like a bank vault.
Yeah. Bomb proof super security compared to the old crappy Motel 6 kind of looking doors and apartments that we had in that other building.
Yeah. Yeah. I might have to like go back, because I know that Eugene, you know, in front of her building when he was trying to get in to go check in on her, that like, I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to like, did like what type of building was it? You know,
to me, it looked like an older townhousey kind of apartment building, because it had the little intercom buzzers at the door.
Okay, so there wasn't like anything on the outside that would have been like, oh, old bank.
Yeah. It looked like it was a regular apartment building.
Apartment place, yeah.
Because, okay. You know, it had the central landing with the mailboxes and the staircase in the back and, you know, landings with apartments as you went up.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, that doesn't explain the doors. Well, then I'll go on to my other last what sauce. It was like Lance Hornsby said that when he was talking to Eugene and Princess, and he was like, what are go bags? And he said a lot of people have them and they've had them for years. And it came about because Princess brought up that Romans had weapons, and he was like, those are illegal. And he was like, no, citizens are allowed to have those. They have a license. So I'm just kind of only guessing. It's like, okay, are these, like, is this a relic of the days past whenever it was like, oh, the community was still being built. And so it was like, oh, if it was going to fall, you know, and it's like, oh, I can go grab my stuff and just get the heck out of there. So I don't know. It was kind of more of like, it just raised like a, huh? Like he said, it was like, oh yeah, everybody has these kind of thing. So it was really, you know, left more like I wanted to know more.
Well, in, you know, the, I don't know, you want to say different circles, maybe, if you're tactically minded or if you want to use the term prepper, or just anybody who's, you know, in a situation where they might need it. I've always referred to it as a bug out bag, but your go bag is what you keep in your truck or your car that in case something happens and you've got to, you know, be away from your home for any length of time, you know, you might have some food, medical supplies, you know, a gun, a knife, rope, different things you might need. So that's why the go bag thing didn't really strike any weird chords with me, because if you think about it, if you're in a community like this, what's the one thing that I've always griped about? If something happens, then we always see our people out there, you know, bare to the world with nothing but what they got in their pockets. And the idea of having a go bag is that if something happens, then you'll have some supplies and maybe a jacket and a blanket and a tarp and things to facilitate your survival if you have to get out of town. So maybe in the earlier days of the community, when they weren't so sure that the walls were good and they had enough people to defend the place, they're thinking, well, I need to keep a bag packed in case I have to bug out of here and be out on my own. But on that point, I was looking at everything in that case and I'm thinking, that's kind of a little John Wick-y to me, that most of the time you're not going to see somebody with a, you know, a spy briefcase in their house with, you know, knives and guns and nice little foam compartments. It kind of, as we have said earlier, it kind of smelled like Mr. Covert Operative, Mr. James Bond kind of thing. Or I'm trying to think of his number, but, you know, sort of hitman-y, John Wick-y sort of thing. This is not old Elmer's been a resident here forever and he's got guns because he can have guns because he's a citizen, and he's got, you know, just a rando normal looking pistol case. You know, this sort of smells a little too professional to me. Or at least the movie level professional.
No, true. Yep. But then, yeah, he's able to just explain it away. Yeah. But
well, he explained it away in sort of a thin passing fashion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's kind of, I guess my go bag is my farm. Like, if I have to bug out, I'll just stay here. Yeah. One of the nice things about not living in the city anymore.
I was going to say, but that's what Herschel thought.
Well.
And yeah. What happened to Herschel, Kyle?
Well, but he had, yeah, because there was the hoard, but, you know, at least you can at least. He was there for a while, though.
Well, it's just true. You know, it's true.
Long time. It wasn't like he was run off like the day after.
And I was going to say there is something to be said for not living near large urban centers.
I would agree. All right. Well, if that was all of our what sauces, let's go into our sad and aw sauce. All right. Gietta from Detroit was the only sad and aw sauce that we got this week. And she said, Eugene being played by the phony Stephanie was heartbreak to get information about our people. Yep. Then, yeah, that was all our sad and aw sauce. So thank you, Dieta. I'll go into, I guess I'm the only one that has the sad and aw sauce. And it's just basically the same thing. It's like, although I didn't really enjoy the Eugene part of this episode as much as I did the other ones, I did feel for him though about being duped over Stephanie. I mean, that last scene, you know, it's like, it's like I felt for that because, you know, like we know, like Eugene has always wanted like companionship. You know, he had to sit there and watch Abram and Rosita like do it in front of him, you know, and he was always kind of like, he was just always kind of like pushed to the side. Like, he's just like, oh, we'll talk to you whenever we need something from you.
Right.
And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, it's not like, I mean, now it's a little bit, I guess, different than it was in the past, but, you know, it's like now he's actually like, you know, made friends, you know, with Rosita or like with others, you know, it's like, but he still like hasn't really gotten that, you know, have a connection with somebody that he can like share his book that he was writing, you know, or, you know, actually have like real private conversations with, like with of all his deep secrets or whatever, you know, something like that. And so it, right. Just seeing that happen and him just basically fall apart, just, it was sad. It pulled my heartstrings. And then on the side note, it's like Hornsby was a real jerk to him when he was explaining.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing. Like, it was just like, he just was like turning that knife. Like, and makes you not, you know, definitely like kind of look forward to see something bad happening to Hornsby. So maybe Carol can take care of that for us.
Yeah. And I think I will agree with you, and thank you for proving you're not dead and cold inside, that it was sad and heartbreaking to see Eugene there, you know, at his lowest, probably lower than we've ever seen him before, sitting there in the alley burning his novel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Hornsby was a jerk, and it sort of showed us that he's not just the smarmy used car salesman, that he does have some, you know, and I do this in air quotes, some evil intentions. And I'm sure that his take on it is he's doing it for the good of the Commonwealth. And he's doing stuff that, well, Pamela doesn't need to know, doesn't need to know how the hot dog is made. So I think that added another dimension to his character that I think I'm glad they did.
Yep. I would agree. It's kind of revealing those little layers of like all his, like, you know, like it's, we know that there's a lots of things that not only is the Commonwealth have like all of its little dirty like corners, but then Hornsby is also like, involved in that in certain degrees. And then Pamela is just on top being all like, oh, everything's wonderful, you know, and then is surprised when it's like, oh, there's.
Yeah, because I don't think she knows everything that goes on, and I don't think she wants to know.
Wants to know, yeah.
No, I think she has the advantage of being on top of the food chain and being able to have some rose-colored glasses to an extent, you know, that she doesn't have to look at all the stuff that goes on to support that pyramid that she's on.
Yeah. Nope. I don't think it bothers her one bit as long as she's still in power and there's no threat to her.
I think I will $1.98 give her the benefit of the doubt is that I think she has good intentions, but I think it's those good intentions that are wrapped up in sort of a Pollyanna view of things. I don't think she knows the dirty underbelly, and I don't think she wants to know, but I don't think it's a, what am I looking for? I don't think it's like she's willfully ignoring it. I think she's just not thinking about it. I don't think it's part of her thought process.
Yeah. I mean, she might. Well, I guess.
Because there are people in the world that don't understand the logistics of how everything works. You know, they're just like, well, why don't they just do something different? Well, you know, why doesn't that, you know, poor person just go back to school and get a better job?
Right. It's because it doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so I want to say that's kind of what's going on, that, you know, Hornsby's in a position where he can do the dirty work because he knows the dirty work that needs to be done, and he's willing to do it. And I think that Pamela is willing to live in willful ignorance of what all has to happen to make, you know, town wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, we shall see how. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, well, we'll see how this unfolds because, you know, I'm sure she, like, there's something she's like, hey, as long as it's taken care of something that I don't have to deal with. But then if it comes back to reflect on her and then she has to do some explaining, then I think that's why people are disappearing. All right. Well, that was all for our sad and awesome. So that leads us into feedback.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, we actually got feedback from Renee in voicemail. And she is basically for Lent. She is not on Facebook. She's like we heard last episode, you know, so she is going to start sending stuff in through voicemail. And, we'll just get into it and then I'll comment later on what she says.
Hi guys, this is Renee from Fairburn. I really hope you guys can understand me. My allergies are going haywire. You know, this Georgia weather, everything is in full bloom. And I have this, I call it the Beyonce husky voice because she has that raspy voice and I sound like that. So I hope you guys can understand me. But I did not like the way they portray Eugene on this episode. He was groveling, and I just do not think that Eugene would have carried on like that. I do know, I realized that Eugene was telling the truth more than likely when he said that he was a virgin. And maybe this was his first time, but I just don't see him carrying on like this. I mean, he was blubbering through the whole show. He was sweating. His hair was sweaty. He was drunk. He was outside using the bathroom. He didn't wash his hands. It was like, ew. Eugene just looked a hot mess. And I just didn't like how they portray him. I mean, Eugene, it just was a hot mess. The whole episode, I was looking at him like, really, Eugene, really? You look like a blubbering idiot. That's what you look like to me. And I just don't see, I understand that he would have been hurt understand that he should have been hurt, you know, because he was in love and she just disappeared and he didn't know what was going on. But to carry on like that, this is a grown ass man and you're carrying on like that. That I just didn't like it. And then when he met the guy that's over the Commonwealth, he act like he was being all big and bad, yelling and stuff. And then the guy would say something and he would stop back groveling. That was not a good image for Eugene. I mean, come on. After he found out that Stephanie set him up and stuff, instead of groveling, he should have kept acting bad. Instead of just sitting there, I just did not like it at all. I was not happy with this episode. And I think they could have did Eugene better justice than just right here. And Stephanie, I did not realize she was Mercer's sister. That was a serious shocker to me. I don't know if you guys guessed it, but I definitely did not pick up on that at all. And Mercer, if he was not part of the resistance, I do believe he's getting ready to become part of the resistance now. It's like his, that wall that he has up is beginning to crumble. And Connie and Kelly is like, seriously, Kelly, look, when Connie tell her to just tell them what she's saying, Kelly's like, oh my gosh, you want me to say this? So I think the way they was acted, that was cute. And I didn't like Kelly's hair. Kelly got that black spray on her hair, look like. It's like, why do you have that black spray in your hair? That look a mess. And Princess, she looked super cute. I didn't like Princess' hair as well. Her wig, it looked like a wig. But Princess looked cute in her little outfit. She really did. And Carol, I'm assuming that The Walking Dead sent Carol there because Carol was abused, so she can spot someone being abused, because I don't see any other reason why The Walking Dead sent Carol with that guy. I don't know. I can never remember his name for whatever reason. He a politician. That's what I'm gonna call him, because he definitely looks like a sleazebag politician. And I don't know why they sent her there. That's the only reason why I can guess. The Walking Dead sent her there because she was abused, so she can spot it. That's the only reason why, because I don't see the angle. And I guess because I didn't watch. I have not read the comic books. I'm not catching the angle. The Walking Dead is all over the place, and so am I. I don't know what the hell is going on. I really do not know what is going on this show. I'm so lost, and I wish they pick up the pace so I can kind of get some understanding of what's going on. And Sebastian is definitely the Ramsay Bolton from Game of Thrones of The Walking Dead. He's definitely him. He's going to be the most hated villain ever, it looks like. But I don't think anyone can touch Ramsay Bolton, because Ramsay Bolton's fed a baby to a dog, to dogs, D-O-G-S. But yeah, Ramsay, I hated him. He was awful. Sebastian, he's just an entitled little prick. He's awful as well, but I don't think he's up there with Ramsay, but we're going to hate him like we hated Ramsay. And for his Daryl and the kids, I think it's only fitting that Daryl would get the kids, because Daryl and Rick were like brothers. Michonne was like his sister-in-law. They were so close. They was a close, you know, they were like family. And I don't see their parents wanting them to be with anyone else but Daryl. Did he make a poor choice by allowing them to go to the haunted house? Of course. But as parents, we have all made poor choices. I know that I have, you know, I only have one son, and I'm sure that people have questioned some of the things that I allowed him to do. But as parents, you know, you get better with time. So hopefully Daryl is going to get better with time. But, you know, the kids, they call him Uncle Daryl. I'm sure they probably call Carol Auntie Carol and all the rest of them auntie and uncle. But I feel like they have a closer connection with Daryl. And, you know, that's who, like I said, the parents would want them to be with. So, yeah, that's my assessment of, I think I remembered everything, but I'm not sure. Because what I would like to do, what I think I'm going to have to do so that I can remember everything is, which I miss anyway, is go back to doing the awesome sauce, the feedback, the what sauce, the ratings, and I'm going to email it to you guys. So let me know on the podcast when you all get this, if it's okay for me to do that. And you all just read it, you know, with the other people on the podcast. Facebook page. And then also, like I was doing before, if I remember some things, then I'll call in. And call in and let you all play that. But I wish I would have did it this week because of how my voice sound. But I don't know if y'all are okay with that. So that's why I didn't do it this week. I'm just let y'all address that. Alrighty, y'all be blessed. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Renee, as
thank
always.
You, Renee.
Yes. Yeah, I'll just first answer your question. Is like, you can definitely email us instead of doing voicemail. And actually, that probably would work out just fine. Just email us your awesome sauce, your weeks, watts, all that. And then if you think of anything else, yeah, then call in and, you know, just, you know, give us more and we'll put it into the show. So all good on that front. But thank you again for leaving a voicemail because we love it.
Yep. Which once upon a time, before I was, lucked into the co-host job, I emailed my feedback quite a bit and used the feedback forum. So
yeah, there's multiple ways that you can send stuff on, but that way you can get your awesome sauces, you know, you get, have it all spelled out. And you know, even if you like come up with other things and you don't want to do a voicemail, just like, this goes for all our listeners, like you can send it to us anyway and we check all this stuff before we start recording, and then if we miss it or if it comes after the fact, you know, we will include it in the, you know, following episode. So listen to our support at the end, or the at the end of the podcast, give all that information out there. Well, Renee, I kind of like a little back and forth on the Eugene storyline this week. I mean, I kind of though see that like him being a mess was part being a mess of like thinking that Stephanie was kidnapped or gone or something like that, and him drinking and like, you know, just looking a whole mess. But then I don't know if that was also he was trying to basically, you know, try to get some information out of what's his face, what was I just said his name, anyways, the guy that he was talking to that was in that he saw enter or came out of Stephanie's building.
The plumber.
The plumber, yes. So, I mean, yeah, he looked a mess, but maybe that kind of was part of his trying to, like, investigate and get, you know, more information from his suspects. The Connie Kelly thing was cute, for sure. And Carol, I mean, if you're talking about, like, why she was put in that scene and that it was about, you know, other women that were being abused by, you know, a man and their, like, you know, their leader or whatever, you know, it was kind of like, I don't know if that was the writers of The Walking Dead doing that and being like, oh yeah, we'll put Carol in there. Or if it was more about like, well, we're teaming up Carol and Lance to play out this, like, you know, she's, you know, that's what she does. She is always kind of she plays that to new people, like being like the unassuming of like, oh no, don't look at me. I just, like, you know, I'm the housewife that bakes cookies, you know, and like, I'm totally like, don't fear, you know, I have nothing to fear. I'm just like, you know, she puts that smoke screen out so that she can kind of do her thing and like get into people's, you know, get the information she wants. So, I mean, I don't think that was kind of maybe more of what I was kind of taking it off of. But, I mean, it was obviously, it's like seeing that or that scene, it was kind of like, oh yeah, Carol's going to totally know what's going on. And she was getting those cues and she read right into it and told Lance and they arrested that guy. And then also, yeah, Daryl and the kids. I mean, it makes sense because, yeah, it's like Daryl is basically uncle to Judith and RJ, you know, it's like that's that family, you know, like they're so that makes complete sense, you know. It was kind of like, well, you know, I think what we were talking about last episode was just kind of like, well, then, you know, how did he get the kids, you know, what was like, why wouldn't they have been put in with somebody else, you know?
Right.
And then also, and also in like where they, you know, like were living, it was like, it wasn't like the quiet, seemingly peaceful Carol and King Ezekiel's apartments or whatever, you know, it was kind of like they're kind of been pushed out to the very end. And you know, who knows what that you know, why that was, or if that was something that Pamela Milton had involved, or if is it some kind of like, oh, they have to prove, like, maybe they know something, or they just thought maybe, yeah, like, or Daryl asked for them. We just don't know. So, all right. Well, thank you, Renee, as always, and definitely just send us the email and we will take care of everything else.
Yep.
All right. You want to take Dieta?
I will. Hi, Dieta says, I remember somebody in the group saying that the voices didn't match, and I admit I didn't catch it. This interesting, why did Hornsby go through all that? What information did he want? Is there actually a Stephanie hiding out there somewhere? This episode left me with questions. So how big is the Commonwealth? So the fake Stephanie disappeared and no alarms were raised? They just told Eugene, oh, she's gone? Do people make it a habit of just disappearing in the Commonwealth? Isn't it surrounded by walls and guards? Although we know Carol found a way out, but how many others? I don't know. This episode just didn't make much sense, especially Connie and Kelly running around as snooping reporters. I get they're trying to get the story about why old boy freaked out, but don't they realize them Commonwealth people are only going to let them know what they want them to know? And what was that scene with Mercer killing all those walkers while a soldier screamed and ran away scared? Not much of an army. Are they going to be demoted as well for not fighting the walkers? To be honest, it means the Commonwealth doesn't have much of an army. I don't know. I'm just waiting for them to get to the point of why are people agree to go there in the first place. Overall, it was just an okay episode.
Yeah. Questions, questions, questions.
Lots of questions.
Yep. Thank you, Dieta. Yeah, I can't really, don't have anything really more to add to that. There was, you're right, because it's like, who are, like, so in that scene with the two soldiers and they were running from the walkers, and then of course Mercer comes to like do the that was the cool effect like spot of the episode. It's like, hey, let's watch this walker head get like slashed in half with the big axe or whatever. That, you know, it's like, well, maybe they were some of the new recruits, and so they're just not quite, you know, because we do kind of get to a point that, you know, as they were training last episode, new recruits that, like, we don't know, some of these people have been either, you know, they're not new, like, citizens or people that they've brought in from the outside, that they might have been living here for a very long time and, you know, were younger, and now they're at the age where it's like, you know, they are being, you know, brought in to join the military. And so they don't have quite as much experience of dealing with, you know, surviving from walkers as, you know, we're so used to. And so maybe that was part of it, where they're just, they're green. They still have to kind of get through, you know, learning about that. Anyways. All right. Well, thank you, Dieta. Let's go to our next, listeners to be back, which is Glennis from Toronto, and she says, Eugene is a good detective with his sidekick Princess. A shame that his trust was shattered by Stephanie. Quote, it was also disgusting the way Lance Hornsby belittled him, stating that no one would believe him was suffering from PTSD, etc. Carol, Daryl, and Rosita would believe him for sure, but his self-confidence is shattered now with how he has been duped and manipulated. So in typical Walking Dead fashion, he's not going to speak about it to anyone. Yeah, that is definitely the Walking Dead fashion. Fear of the Walking Dead fashion. World beyond fashion. It's like that moment where you're just like, you just tell them. like why didn't you give them the information? And we don't find out until like way after. I don't know. It's
right.
It's how they can keep an episode, you know, like what, 53 minutes instead of being like 12. They have to stretch it out. She goes on, she says, hopefully the real Stephanie will restore some of the lost confidence and spirit in Eugene, although it'll be a long time before he trusts anyone again. The Commonwealth is also attempting to con Connie. That cleanup of walkers after her article was rejected on Tyler looked to be staged, although the soldiers, other than Mercer, looked to be useless walker killers. If this was a bona fide situation that they had to really control, yeah, like I said, I was kind of, maybe they're just new recruits and they're just, this was their first trial run.
Well, right. And maybe this is just their, okay, let's get out and see how you're going to react.
Yeah. And it's like you either die or they'll be like, oh, yeah, you're not going to be part of it. Or you'll be on desk duty.
Or you'll end up waiting tables and stabbing paintings.
Yeah. She continues on. There looks to be a Walker herd problem brewing again, since there were stated areas that they had to clean. Again, if it wasn't all just staged to look good to the commoners. Mercer seems to be the only Walker killing machine of any worth, bar the OG survivors group, as when he came to aid of that one soldier and split that Walker's head in two, changing his suit from orange, white to red. I did wonder how he got blood on the back of his suit. Connie and Mercer and Princess and Eugene need to join up and exchange info in the disappearance of Tyler and all the multitude of others on that list that was passed under the door to Connie. I wonder who passed on that info, if not Mercer himself, as he didn't seem very pleased when he was barred from seeing Tyler. I think it probably was Mercer, for sure. But he wasn't barred seeing Tyler.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Mercer.
It could be Max or... in any case, I think he wasn't very pleased that he was, not that he was, I think, barred from seeing Tyler. It's the fact that he went to go find Tyler and then Tyler got transferred, air quotes, and it wasn't, and, you know, he thought that it was like he'd be the only one doing that, or he could only do that. Like, he had the power, and now he's being overstepped by somebody that he doesn't know, or maybe he does know. And I think that's what, you know, at least like that last scene when he was at the hospital, it was just like, wait, I'm the only one that can transfer this guy. And the doctor was like, looks like you're not then. she goes on, the Commonwealth is rotten under the surface. So will this all get wrapped up in this season 11B, or will we have to wander through season 11 C2 in order to see this Commonwealth storyline conclude properly? Good question. There's a lot of questions, and I think we'll get into that because of with some of the news that came out. Because, you know, there is the, you know, we have the element, and of course I have not read the comics to the, you know, through this part, but I do know, you know, some things. And, you know, I remember whenever the whole comics, you know, ended, and then how, you know, then what the ending of that was. So it's kind of like the TV show has definitely kind of like has kind of gone, you know, like it was kind of like the Game of Thrones situation where it's like, okay, the other book hasn't been finished, and so they're kind of on in uncharted territory, and so they're kind of like, well, we can kind of do whatever we want, like we kind of have a baseline, but it's not in canon, or, you know, so to speak, so they can just kind of do whatever they want. That's kind of where I'm wondering where this is going to go, because, you know, we still, you know, we have the CRM, which was not a part of the comic books. You know, we have Fear, you know, like that's some spinoff that's kind of like added to the television universe. And, you know, we have an anthology series coming up and all this stuff. So it's kind of like they could do whatever they want. So this could all wrap up in the next, you know, few episodes. Or I have a feeling it's definitely going to go into part three. But maybe, yeah, we'll just have to see. So it's interesting. We'll get to it on the news. All right. Well, thank you, Glennis, for your feedback. As always, always good feedback. All right. Well, that leads us into any of our and kind of other comments that we want to add. And I mean, I wrote some stuff which I think everybody else has kind of already kind of made little comments about. But yeah, it was like I thought it was just interesting, that newspaper headline, because it just said task force holds the line, and then it said second wave is expected. So it's like, okay, well, that was kind of what we get, as like, they were obviously doing something out there, and then Connie right. was like involved, and so was it all just for her to just be like, hey, like, you know, we got to give her something to do, and then, you know, it's like, but this is all just really like kind of a, oh, this is just like a really low level thing. And then they ended up, you know, like the editor was like, no, you just summarize what the Pamela Milton, you know, press release was. And so, you know, coming down on high, it's like, oh no, it's like they were just throwing out the trash, taking stuff to the dump. But like, we need to make a story because people saw our soldiers leaving town, that like, oh yeah, we're protecting you guys from this horde that's coming, and look at our soldier, you know, it's just PR.
Right.
But yeah. And I looked to see if there was anything that said like, oh, that was Connie's article. But I was just assuming that, you know, that was her article, that was basically what they put her out there for. And again, it was interesting that Kelly was telling Connie that moving to the Commonwealth was temporary. That, you know, we know that Eugene, well, I don't know if that's it was Eugene or Rosie, or who was it last episode? Or no, Daryl, when he was talking to Judith and RJ, you know, it was like, it did seem like there was this kind of like, well, they're only there just for the time being, that, you know, like something's still going on. Like Alexandria's still there. It, you know, maybe the Hilltop, that, you know, it's like this was just, they were just there kind of like taking a break, like temporary place. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting that, you know, Kelly was telling that to Connie. It's like, and I think there's a bit of a like, starting to get that little indication, like people are being asked, like, are you really wanting to go back? Like, are you like, you know, is this a better place to be than the Commonwealth or than the Alexandria? You know, it's like, are people going to start taking sides? Cause,
or, you know, don't you think this is a lot more fun than your old burned out, raggedy old house in Alexandria?
Yeah. That gets, we have ice attacked. Cream. Right.
Yeah, we have cookies and a record store.
Oh, and it's not constantly being attacked by everyone or walkers or storms or fires or all that stuff. And then last was that we found out fake Stephanie's real name is Shira. And so I'm sure if they put a name to the face, then we're going to see more of her. did you have anything else to add?
No, sir. I think we have covered it all quite well.
Awesome. All right. Well, then that takes us into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. Well, we actually had a little bit of an improvement this week compared to last. Season 11, episode 11 got a 0.42 in the 1849 with a 1.672 million viewers. 0.60 in the 2554 and a 0.90 in the 50 plus. So actually that is up from last week, season 11, episode 10, which got a 0.41 in the 1849 with 1.604 million viewers. So gain like 72,000 new viewers. But actually, went down in the 25 to 54, which last week got a 0.76, and then this week also went down from the 50 plus, which last week was a 0.99. So got a little bit of a, you know, shave off on the upper demographics, but actually gained a little bit more viewers. So hey, we'll call that a good study. And the Talking Dead got a season 11, episode 11 of The Talking Dead got out the same rating, 0.18 in the 1849 with 687,000 viewers compared to last week's 1.18 again with 662,000 viewers. So again, I guess that's kind of, you can call that steady. All right. The Parrots. All right. I went back, went over the ones that I found. Like, I parrots are like, they're interesting because they're obviously tracking, you know, not live, like same day viewing or live viewing, or like, you know, they do the plus sevens and all that kind of stuff. So this is more of just like kind of like the, I guess, you know, the internet part of everything. And so the parrots for The Walking Dead started the week before the return of The Walking Dead, and it was around 41.3 times the demand of an average show. Then the week of February 19th through the 25th, it moved up from 10 to the sixth place at 44,000 or 44 times the demand of an average show. So then last week, the week of February 26th to March 4th, The Walking Dead actually fell to number 8 at 43 times the demand of the average show. Some of the other shows that were on the list was like Saturday Night Live jumped from number 5 to number 2 last week with 62 times. Euphoria, which I think that just, you know, came out. So I don't know if they're episode 2. I haven't watched it because I don't have HBO anymore. But it was at 57.2 times, and third was Attack of the Titans at 51.4. And of course, everyone's favorite is still number 1, Square Bob Sponge Pants at 68.1 times.
Oh, God.
Yes. I should say that again.
No, I think you pretty well said it there.
No, I know. I just
SpongeBob SquarePants.
I like SquareBob.
I said SquareBob SpongePants is a completely different show, sir. I was going to say that it's funny to me how their Walking Dead and Game of Thrones seem to be trading places.
Mm-hmm.
And that after all this time, you know, you saw that little spike for Mandalorian, and then it goes right back to, you know, kind of the same thing we've seen, that you have a few alterations, but a few of the main players are still there, whether they're high or low on the scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, I think, like, Stranger Things was on the week before, but then dropped off completely on this week. And it's interesting because, you know, like, I'm not entirely sure how the parrots necessarily work, but, I mean, we know the next season of Stranger Things is going to be coming up, and I'm not sure if it's got announced exactly when it's coming back.
Right.
But there's been stuff online being like, oh, hey, Stranger Things, you know, it's like...
Well, that's part of the magic of the way they calculate the parrots anyway. It's not just like Google Trends, because I think they do take into account how much it's streamed, but mm-hmm. it's the whole magic of what the average demand expression actually is.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah, Walking Dead is still there, and that's always good. People are still watching it and looking at it and searching for it. And all right, well, that was it for the ratings. So let's get into our news.
We have news.
Yes, I actually did some work and made sure, like, was checking on stuff. But then also one of them is, like, it just came out, and it was, like, well, I'll get to it. But first, though, I was going to kind of like a sad sauce in the news, and it's because The Walking Dead began filming its last episodes of the series yesterday. And it's, cannot believe we're, like, actually getting this close to the end, but it is coming. You know, it's like we still have the anthology series, you know, we still have Fear and Carol and Daryl spinoff and the movies, we think. But, you know, it is sad that we're going to see the main show is going to come to a conclusion. And, you know, it's how it's been, what are we on? Is it been 12 years since season one aired?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time for...
It's a very long time.
Yes. It's like we've been... I mean, heck, I don't even know how long... I've been podcasting since season 3 of Fear, but then commenting on Walking Dead when Brian and Ruthie were doing it, but still.
It's right.
Like, it's been a long, long time. I've moved twice since then. But there was a report that Alexandria that was located in Sonoy, Georgia, that fans have flocked to will be there until June. And the Walking Dead location manager, it's a Michael O'Reilly, he applied to the city of Sonoy to allow street closures to remain in place until June of this year. So if you had plans to go visit, the clock is ticking. It's going to, yeah, I mean, we'll see, but that's kind of sad. I'm like, I've, you know, had friends and actually other podcasters and, you know, the other network I was, me and Brian used to be with, you know, would go to cons and then go, you know, to go see the sets and like where they filmed it and stuff like that. And I always wanted to do it. And now it's kind of like,
well, I had read something to where some of the houses that were in Alexandria had actually gone up for sale.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which I thought was, you know, imagine buying a house that was used in the show. You'd end up, and I'm trying to remember what town it is, but that the house in some old suburb of some town in, I think it's in Illinois, where they filmed A Christmas Story, that apparently there's people that show up there all the time to look at the house and are like standing around taking pictures in front of it. You know, could you imagine somebody going, there's people in the front yard again, Dad.
I know. Looking at my house.
It's like, I know. We live in the porch dick's house.
Yeah. Whoever's buying it. Well, someone's probably going to just turn into an Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. There's actually a company that does site tours. Mm-hmm. That'll take you around different places where they filmed episodes. I was really hoping they would do that up in Richmond, because I think that would be, they'd both be about the same distance for me to drive to. Mm-hmm. But since World Beyond is already done with, I would be curious to see some of the places where they filmed up there. But I was planning on trying to get down to Atlanta to go see some friends of mine and then use that as an excuse to go see if I could find some filming locations and take pictures.
Yeah. That would be, can get down there before they close that off. Then, I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just, it's the idea of like, oh, the main show is coming to an end. And then it's like, yeah, everything else that is along with it like this, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, they're not going to need that set anymore. They're not going to need that location. Unless the town does something about it, you know, then it's kind of like, oh, goodbye, Alexandria. All right. Well, let's get into the next bit of feedback or news. And I did, whoa, because it was announced that Maggie and Negan are getting a spinoff, and it's called Isle of the Dead, and it will come out in 2023, so next year. It looks like it's set in New York City, and it's a 6-episode set show run by Eli Jorn, who has been a co-executive producer on The Walking Dead for multiple seasons and has an overall deal with AMC Studios. I put it in, it's like, there is still the Daryl and Carol spinoff, and I think that's also set in 2023, but I'm not sure of like how many episodes that their spinoff's going to be. But it's just on the end, it's, you know, here we are. We knew that there was a Daryl Carol, and now we're getting a Maggie and Negan. So, like, what the heck? Like, I don't know. This is going to be interesting. I posted it on the Facebook because I wanted to like kind of get some of our listeners like feedback, if you know, of what they might have thought or if they hadn't heard from it yet. And Dieta replied back and said, "Wow," she's like, "Not that surprising!" Exclamation question mark. Definitely makes for an interesting mix, but I am here for it. New plot now. Plot wise. Question or thinking face. It would be interesting to see if they bring any cast with them, like Dwight or Sherry, or maybe Morgan and Alicia. The possibilities are endless. And then thinking face. And then Ruthie actually posted on there. She's like, whoa, what in the heck could a show about these two be? Maggie trying to kill him all the time?
And see, I think my two cents is we know they've sort of now had this little grudging acceptance of each other. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Granted, I know that Negan said, well, I know that it's still going to be in your brain to try it, so I'm not going to make it easy for you, and he leaves. But I kind of think there's going to be something, and this would be just my thought on it. If you want to make it compelling for me, make it to where, you know, Maggie goes out on her own, and somehow she either runs into Negan or ends up needing Negan for something, or maybe the other way around. But whatever it is, there's got to be some sort of hook that puts those two back in the same space and yet gives them a reason not to kill each other. Just like we saw in the lead up to the shootout at Reaper Central there. Because I realize I know somebody's going to be sending me hate mail, but I think just the chemistry between those two characters, the way they interact with each other, and the fact that they both have sort of grudgingly acknowledged that they are both good at surviving in this environment, I think that it would make for a pretty good team up, because they would be at each other and, you know, kind of there would be conflict between the two of them while they were exploring the exterior conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what's going to be interesting, because like,
and I think it would be, ooh, this is a hot take. I think it may be more fun than a Carol and Daryl show, because we know there's not really going to be any, there's not going to be the same caliber of conflict between Carol and Daryl.
Yeah, no, for sure.
There's not going to be that kind of inner team tension as well as the external tension. So,
yeah. Well, and then like that, but that's like the question too, though, is like, okay, well, when does this happen? You know, it's like we're getting through our end of the main show. So then, yeah, like how, yeah, is it we see Maggie run off in this, like walk out in the sunset, you know, at the end of the series, you know, it's like, and then that's, and then it picks up sometime after that. Like, you know, why would she be headed to New York City, or how did they get to New York City? Or, you know, like, there's so many questions, but I agree with you that it's like, they're kind of like, their dynamic where it's like, you know, the enemy of my enemy, or no, it's like, you know, you keep your enemies close, you know, or keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, or whatever I remember the saying is, but it's like, you know, they both have at times basically teamed up to, you know, stay alive.
Okay, I've got your evil plot line.
Okay.
Somebody who's based in New York kidnaps Herschel. So Maggie has to go to the one person that she doesn't want a favor from to sneak into New York and rescue her son. It's like Taken in the zombie apocalypse with Maggie being Liam Neeson. No, even better. It's like, it's The Rock, except without Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery.
Oh, oh my goodness. Anyway.
It's Escape from New York in reverse and without Kurt Russell. Escape into New York.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, well, should be interesting. And I'm sure there'll be more information that gets released. And then as it gets closer, because, I mean, they're, you know, are they filming it?
Let's just hope it does better than the submarine movie they've been promising us for 2 years.
I don't know if that's ever coming.
Or 3 years now. I think it's closer to three.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that too, it's like I thought I saw a tweet whenever this like got announced on Twitter by at T Walking D World that posted, it was like hashtag TWD is like characters. So like the Walking Dead characters being handed out spinoffs left and right, then the World Beyond characters given a happy ending, and then Fear of the Walking Dead characters. Here's a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Like that fits it to a T. It's like, yep. Hey, Fear. Oh, here. Take this bomb. Have fun.
I told you, man. All they got to do is load up the kids and the Apocalypinto and head north.
Yep. Then all would be well. Oh, you know, goodness.
Okay. It'll be like all the CSI spinoffs, you know. Fear of the Walking Dead, Tulsa edition.
As they move up, yeah, like, okay, Fear of the Walking Dead, yeah, St. Louis edition.
Yes, yes. Oh, Fear of the Walking Dead, Leavenworth, Kansas edition.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, that was all the news that we had. So, LD, tell people how to interact with us.
I will. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/Walking Dead TTM. You can send us email at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also use our feedback forum, which is talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. And on a side note, that works for all of our podcasts here in the fine Talk Through Media podcast family. If you want to leave us voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. And remember, voicemails are only about 2 minutes. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast.
And if you'd like to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And as always, we'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clip McCollum, Renee Murray, Lawrence Todd, the guy over there, and me, Kyle McAdams, and Dieta Patterson. And remember that Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of the episode this week. You can also subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. And you can always leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. Brian and Ruthie are covering Star Trek Discovery. Actually, there's one more episode left, the finale.
Yep.
But then also they're covering Star Trek Picard, which, you know, aired at the same time last week, which is interesting because it was like, oh, great, I have so much Trek to watch. But then it was like, okay, which one do I watch first? Because I can, you know, it's not like The Walking Dead where you're like, oh, I have to wait until it airs. It's like they come out and you can stream them. So he and Ruthie will be covering that. And you can find Discovery at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com or the Picard Star Trek Picard at StarTrekPicard.com. Brian is moving still, and we wish him the best and hope that everything goes smooth. I know he's had some challenges. So he hopefully will be joining us again in the near future, and we'll just see. So just hope he gets everything done. But you can also find the Star Trek Discovery and Picard Facebook groups at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts with an S. And they also have a Patreon. You can find those for those podcasts. You can find that at patreon.com/BrianRuthie. All right. Next episode, The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 12, The Lucky Ones, written by Vivian Say and directed by Tawania McKernan. Description, Governor Pamela Milton tours Alexandria, Oceanside, and Hilltop. Eugene processes Max's story. Okay, I think we got some answers there. They are still around. She's touring them.
Yes.
All right. Well, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is Walking Dead Talk. Good night, everyone.
Good night.